All right, let's take the word of God, and if you'd please turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We are going to consider three Proverbs that are mentioned in chapter 10 this evening. And so if you turn with me there, Proverbs 10, we'll read verse 8, and we'll read verse 9 and verse 10. And so Proverbs 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. And I would like for all of us to read those verses together. And so as you find your place there in Proverbs 10, and we'll begin there reading in verse 8 as soon as I hear all the pages stop turning. No pages are turning. Are y'all turning? Anybody? All right. You're already there. Look at that. So, all right. So Proverbs 10, verse 8. Let's begin together. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way shall be known. He that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Is it prating or prating? Prating. All right. So I've been saying prating all day, and so that's prating. All right. A prating fool shall fall. I want to think about that expression we find twice there. First mentioned in verse 8, then also in verse 10. A prating fool. What is that? It is a descriptive term to refer to someone. And we're going to talk about that, but I want to preach this evening on this. Avoid being a prating fool. Avoid being a prating fool. In this proverb to consider, we identify here, obviously there's a lot of contrast. There's a contrast in verse 7, again in verse 8, and also in verse number 9. And many of the proverbs are like that. There is a positive, and then there's a negative. The positive in verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commandments. The negative, but a prating fool shall fall. Verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but, the contrast, he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And then verse 10, there's both negative, but yet there's still a contrast. Notice what he says, verse 10, he that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow. That's a bad thing. But a prating fool shall fall. That's also a bad thing. Now, a few other proverbs that we find where there's two negatives. But here there is a contrast because of the word but. And we'll explain that in just a moment with the Lord's help. But I want to preach this evening on avoid being a prating fool and consider those proverbs, a proverb to live by. And I would like to identify three characteristics of the wise. As we think about, obviously, the challenge for as we come to the scriptures to try to obviously preach those verses, but to do it here this evening from the perspective of the wise. And I want us to talk about three characteristics of the wise. The first one will be receptiveness, and we'll talk about that. Then the second one is uprightness, and the third one is reflectiveness. I want to talk about those three things this evening if we are going to avoid being a prating fool. The first one, the first characteristic I want to pay attention to is receptiveness. I want you to notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, the wise in heart will receive commandments. The wise in heart will receive commandments. Now, the first thing that we find that jumps out to me is here we are concentrating on the heart. Again, and by the way, we've emphasized that in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, that the God is after our hearts. That is what God is interested in, because if He has our hearts, He has everything. And that is really where we have to pay attention. Now, the Bible talks here about the wise in heart, but it gives us a characteristic of someone who is wise in heart. And notice that characteristic is receptiveness. The Bible says the wise in heart will receive commandments. You know what that means here? Before we go into the message, this is what it means. If we are not receptive or receiving commandments, then we are not wise in heart. But if we are receiving commandments, we are wise. That is what the Bible tells us. Receptiveness here is the characteristic I would describe of the new heart in Christ. Certainly, The newborn babe, we think about the newborn babe that is described in 1 Peter 2:2, desires the sincere milk of the word that he may grow thereby. Let's turn there. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's turn there in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We think about the baby, and my wife and I have had six. So I would speak here from a little bit of experience. And I want you to notice here, 1 Peter, notice with me chapter 2, notice verse 1 and 2. The Bible says here, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye, now notice here, he's given this illustration, right? Just like newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So he basically makes the connection in one verse without going into description, because we know exactly what he's talking about. A newborn babe, every few hours, it seems like every 2 to 4 hours, the baby cries. Why? The diaper's clean. He's hungry. Or she is hungry. There's this hunger. They come with it. As a matter of fact, I remember when David was first born, not knowing, the nurses would come in and said, now you need to feed him every 2 hours. And I thought to myself, 2 hours? I don't eat every 2 hours. So this is, but that, for sure enough. And actually for the first one, it seemed like this one over here, it was every hour, it seemed like, for the first few weeks. He was just hungry all the time. And that was, if you would, the natural craving. And he grew, right? And the Bible says here, notice, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The child, they want the milk. It is sweet to them. They desire it. They crave it. And the Christian, the new Christian, is desiring in the same way the word. Why? That he may grow thereby. And so what we read in the Bible is that the wise in heart receiveth commandments. In other words, he is hungering, he is thirsting, he is desiring for something, and the reason why he receives it is because he wants it. We identified in chapter 9, remember, the scorner does not want it. And so he scorns those who give instruction. But the wise in heart is the one who receives the commandment. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 11, let's look at the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn with me in Matthew chapter 11, I would like to see here what the Lord Jesus Christ, what I believe is can be related to this proverb in chapter 10. Notice Matthew chapter 11, if we begin reading in verse 20. So notice with me, Matthew 11, 20, the Bible says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And here Jesus Christ begins to speak, and notice what he says. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, here it is, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now what was he talking about here? As Jesus Christ went to the cities, he was doing his miracles, he was preaching and teaching, and it is evident that the people, based upon the miracles, had rejected him as the Messiah. They had rejected his teaching. And here the Bible says, Jesus says that as he's talking to his Father, he says that these things have been hid from the wise and the prudent. In other words, he's comparing those who think they know everything, those who think that they already have all the knowledge that they need, they think they have all the answers of this life, and then Jesus Christ comes along and says, you're all wrong. Remember what he said? Ye have heard that it had been said by them of old, But then he says, but I say unto you. And so when Jesus Christ was teaching, he was going against, if he was, those who were considered in society as the wise and prudent. And he says, but you have revealed yourself unto babes. What is he talking about? He's not talking about literal babies. He's talking about people whose disposition is that of receiving his instruction. Jesus Christ says, those who've rejected me are those who do not want to receive my teaching. But those who've received my teaching are just like babes. In their disposition, they are just like children. And hence the proverb, the wise in heart will receive commandments. You see, mental capacity is not as important as heart reception. There are many very smart people and educated people in society who are not wise at all. You know, I think of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what he taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 as he began the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6? He says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Who? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. You see, the heart is the seat of true wisdom, and a teachable spirit is the best proof of its influence. As believers, we must beware of two things. When we think about hungering and thirsting, I think we know that we all have a natural desire to eat and to drink. It seems, well, some people, they like to eat a little more than others. Maybe sometimes people like to, you know, eat every few hours, just like newborn babies, and they just keep eating and eating and eating. But that comes naturally to us. Typically, in typical fashion, about three times a day, people eat. They get hungry. But we must be careful when it comes to spiritual matters. We must beware of two things. As I think about here, the babes that desire the sincere milk of the word and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we have to be aware of some things that can, if you would, quench that hunger and thirst for righteousness. I would say there's two things we need to be aware of. First of all, beware of an indifferent appetite. You know, when my children, well, they don't always eat like, you know, they're just out of control. They're just consuming the food, and it just, they want more and more and more. I guess it depends what they have on their plate. If my wife cooks mac and cheese, okay, which is really the staple in our house, my wife, I think, makes the best mac and cheese. And when my wife makes mac and cheese, the children just devour it. And they want another plate and another plate and another plate and another plate. Now, if one of the children comes to the table and you put the plate of mac and cheese in front of them and they look at it and say, I'm not hungry, what would that tell you? There's something wrong. Right, we would say, are you sick? That's the first thing we say. We say, are you sick? So what we're saying is that if there's not an appetite, there's a sickness, there is something wrong with you if you are not hungry. And so it is with spiritual things. If we are indifferent to the Word of God, and if we don't have that appetite, there is something wrong with our soul. There's a sickness that needs to be dealt with. We know the Bible is a picture. The sin is often portrayed as a sickness. And the truth is, when there's sin in our lives, often sin will cause us to be indifferent to spiritual things. We have to beware of an indifferent appetite, but also we have to beware of an inordinate appetite. You see, we must not substitute the spiritual appetite with the physical appetites. This is when man pursues pleasure, when man pursues happiness, when man pursues love or revenge or fame or power, instead of receiving the commandments of the Lord. They pursue other things that think are going to satisfy, things that are physical in nature, things that they think will satisfy, and they recognize that those things never satisfy. Jesus says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they and they alone shall be filled. Do you want to be filled spiritually? And do you believe that God can fill you and satisfy you spiritually? And if the answer is yes, then I tell you that you have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, the man, I want to go with me to Matthew chapter 19. I want to consider a man that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who seemed, if you would, at the onset that he was hungering for the Lord. He wanted the truth. And in Matthew chapter 19, notice, let's begin reading in verse 16. This man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls him good master in verse 16. And he says, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And the Bible says, verse 17, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Now, here, obviously, Jesus Christ, the man here was coming, and Jesus Christ, who knew his heart, knew exactly how to deal with him. You see, Jesus Christ went through a list, and the young man says, "I've kept all those things." Now, certainly, he kept them in the letter of the law. He might have kept them in the letter of the law, but notice what Jesus says, or verse 19. Honor thy, or verse 20, "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet?" Jesus saith unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And so what this young man did here, he thought himself to be righteous. He thought himself that he did not need anything else, and yet Jesus Christ exposed his what? His covetousness. And right there, that is the last of the Ten Commandments that earlier Jesus Christ left out. But now he mentioned this and exposes the young man, and the young man is unwilling to do that. You see, this young man, what he wanted Christ and he wanted his own riches. He wanted a combination of the two. But the truth is, when someone is starving for food at the point of death, what does that person want? That person wants a meal and water. That's what they want. They don't want food, water, and a new suit. They only want food. Why? Because that's what they need. And this man over here who came to Christ did not recognize that all he needed was Jesus Christ. And the truth is, in our lives as well, we may add, if you would, inordinate appetites to our lives to try to make those as substitutes for Christ, and they will never be a substitute for Christ. And so we find here that the first characteristic of the wise is receptiveness. And I ask ourselves here, can you identify yourself as a wise man or a wise woman? You say, "How do I know whether I'm wise or not, Pastor?" I'll tell you how you know. If you receive commandments, you are wise. If you do not receive commandments, you are not wise. Now, the wonderful thing here about the word commandments, it brings us exactly in the line of God. Because here we're not talking about man's commandments, we're talking about God's commandments. Are you willing to listen to what God has to say? Are you willing to come to God and to humble yourself in the presence of God? Because if you would, a command is, if you think about the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not." That's a command. In other words, there is no, if you would, Christian liberty within commandments. There's no gray area. It's either right or it's wrong. And when we are exposed to the Word of God and to the commandments of God, and when we find ourselves accountable to God, when God says something that we do not necessarily like, are we saying, "I'm going to submit myself, teach me, Lord, and I will receive it"? If you remember back in Proverbs chapter 1, that is exactly what he wanted the disposition of the son to be. Hear and receive. Hear and receive. Over and over again, he's repeated that throughout the first 4, 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. which shows us the receptiveness is the characteristic of wisdom. The wise in heart is not someone who knows everything. It is not someone who walks around with their nose up in the air. It is someone whose disposition is that of humility, who is always receptive to learn from God. Receptiveness is the first characteristic of the wise. The second characteristic is uprightness. Uprightness. Notice verse 9. Let's go back to Proverbs 10, verse 9. And let me just throw that out there when we're, as you're turning there, as we think about receptiveness, we must be fully aware, because I think we all know ourselves, that there are times in our lives when we are really receptive, and there are other times when we are not receptive. And sometimes a lot of those things are dependent on how we feel at the moment. And the Lord has to help us with that. But what we have to do is, if we're going to be wise, we have to be aware of when we are not receptive and ask the Lord to help us in that. The second one, notice, is uprightness. Verse 9 says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely." He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. The word upright means this. It means someone who is complete, someone who is innocent, someone who is full. It is understood in reference to someone who has integrity. As a matter of fact, this Hebrew word that is used there in the majority of the time is translated integrity. How do we define integrity? Well, if you think about a good definition of integrity, it would be someone who is complete, someone who is entire, someone who is unbroken. We would say to someone who is pure within, someone who is genuine, unimpaired, unadulterated. He is an unimpaired state. That is the idea of integrity. I remember the business I worked for, Dealer's Warehouse in Tennessee. You often hear that, right? Integrity is the best policy. Right, you've heard that before, right? And they crossed out, said, it's the only policy. I thought, well, that's interesting. But that's true here. This idea of integrity, right, that you're not going to be deceptive. You're going to be upfront. You're going to be genuine. You're going to be honest. You're not going to have, if you would, some ulterior motives. If you notice with me, go to Proverbs 19. In Proverbs 19, notice what the Bible says, and I think it's important here to notice how we find the word integrity used in the book of Proverbs in relation to what topic. Notice Proverbs 19:1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity, we could also say who is upright, than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. If you notice with me and go to Proverbs 28, chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28, notice verse 6. Proverbs 28, verse 6, he says again, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his way, though he be rich. You see here, the Bible places a premium or a great importance not on someone's material possessions, but on someone's inward disposition and purity of heart. Integrity there, purity, uprightness. As you think about uprightness, there is a lesson for us that we think about in the physical sense. And that is when a man's position is physically upright, he can stand easily and bear a lot of weight. If you think about this chair over here, I haven't practiced this illustration. But if you think about someone that is upright, I would say it is someone who, right, if I'm going to pick up something, I probably should have Brother Wagner, he picks up things every day. But if I'm going to pick up something, you know, to the best of my ability, I'm going to stand upright, I'm going to walk around. I'm upright, standing straight up. I can stand here for a long time. I'm not going to stand here for the whole message. But I can stand here for a long time. It's actually not heavy at all. But if I start going like this,
All of a sudden, about right here, that becomes a little more difficult. As a matter of fact, my left leg is starting to shake a little bit. Why? Because I'm not upright. If I'm upright, I can stay here for a very long time.
But as soon as I start leaning either way, I start losing my balance. And the Bible says, right, that goes with our text, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. And so that uprightness of position means that I can bear much. I can endure much. In other words, I'm not going to be wearied quickly. I'm not going to be broken down easily. But if my limbs are uneven, if my legs are not straight up, if my posture is bent, at that moment, if someone comes and just pushes me a little bit, I could fall over because of the weight of another. I become soon exhausted, even on my own. You see, the idea of someone who is upright is someone who is not, because of the genuineness of his heart, because of the purity of his heart, when something comes along the way, he's going to stand upright, he is balanced. And so there is an attitude of the soul which corresponds to the erect position of the body, and that is called uprightness. The least deviation from the line of righteousness will take your strength away and leave you at the mercy of many foes. You see, when the heart is wavering away from God and something comes along the way, we will be shaken. We will give up. We will falter. And so that is very important for us, if we're going to walk surely, evenly, consistently, then we have to have an uprightness of heart. We have to be people of integrity. As an upright pillar can bear a greater weight than a leaning one, so moral rectitude is strong and obliquely weak. And so we find here not only the first characteristic of the wise is receptiveness, the second one is uprightness, but I'd like to add a third one, and that is reflectiveness. And the book of Proverbs is about what? It's about teaching a son to think about things. In other words, he says, you need to be upright. You need to have a wise heart to receive the commandment, and so may your disposition be one of humility, really to receive, and make sure that as you think about this life, that you walk uprightly, not just in your stature out in this life, but in your heart. May your heart be pure so that you can walk surely. But I want you to consider what the alternative is, and that's where we have to, if you would, reflect upon those things. And what are we reflecting upon? Notice verse 8, but a prating fool shall fall. Now that's interesting, the word fall in contrast to the one who walks surely. A prating fool shall fall. He goes on to say, verse 9, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Verse 10, he that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool again shall fall. So I'm interested here in the prating fool. What is a prating fool? And I want us to reflect upon what it talks about here. The fool is basically busy. Instead of taking things in, he is busy producing things out. That would be the opposite of the one who is receiving, the wise heart who is receiving, taking in. The prating fool, that word prating has the idea of someone who is already pumping something out, and he becomes still more empty. You see, the wise in heart already has everything, but he keeps taking in. But the prating fool is always giving out and has nothing. It's the complete opposite. From him he hath who hath not shall be taken, but to him that hath shall be given. If you are wise, you will be yet wiser. That's what he said. Remember chapter 9? But if you don't have anything, For him that hath not shall be taken. He is known by the noise he makes. He is what I would refer to as a tinkling cymbal. And the Lord himself pointed to the unsuspecting receptiveness of a little child and said that this is the way to enter into the kingdom, to have the receptiveness. But the other one is the prating fool. The word prating would mean this. It means idle talk. The word prate is defined as the following. I looked it up in the dictionary. To talk much and without weight. Or to little purpose, to run on. Have you ever met anybody like that? To utter foolishly. Continuous talk to little or no purpose. Trifling talk. That is the prating fool, which is interesting because that resembles, if you remember in chapter 9, the scorner. What does the scorner do? Remember the other words that we talked about, the scorner, the interpreter, the ambassador, the teacher. It is someone who is always running their mouth. And the prating fool is the same way. He is someone who is idly talking, going on and on and on and on, and he does not stop. The opposite of the prating fool is found in Proverbs 8, verse 6, just a few pages over to your left. Notice Proverbs 8, verse 6, the Bible says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. That is a tough verse to live by. That was Proverbs 8, verse 6. Was that not it?
8:8.
Okay, 8:8, that's it. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Think about that. All the words of my mouth. In the New Testament, the Bible says, every idle word that man shall speak shall be remembered in the day of judgment. Every idle word. And here the contrast is, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. I've given this illustration once and trying to teach that to my children because they run their mouths quite a bit. They talk and they talk and they talk and they talk, and a lot of times meanness comes out. And every once in a while I have to say, you need to stop talking. And before you speak, you need to think about what you're about to say. Because a prating fool is someone who goes on and on and on and on and on, and they're not thinking about what they're saying. They're running their mouth. They're speaking foolishly. It is a trifling talk. It is without purpose. It is not productive. And the opposite of that is, all the words of our mouth are in righteousness. And I wonder in my own life how many words have been used just as idle words, just flapping on, just idleness, things that are pointless, tinkling cymbal. Without any use. Here he speaks here of speaking excellent things and right things. The word excellent speaks of that which is honorable. Obviously, we're talking about something that is honorable in the sight of God. The word right speaks of that which is even and straight, I believe, according to the word of God. He that walks, notice, uprightly walks surely, but he that in verse 9, that perverteth his ways shall be known. You see, the prating fool does not take in. He is always spewing out. And the reason why he is not taking in is because he is spewing out. My dad will usually say this, son, God gave you one mouth and 2 ears. That's because you need to do a whole lot more listening than talking. You see, I think we are all so quick. Something happens, and we just want to say something right off the bat. And what would be good for all of us is to pause and to say, are all the words of my mouth going to be spoken in righteousness? You see, the prating fool is always running his mouth. I think it is really interesting, and I'm trying to step on, if you would, beyond personality. I understand there's people that have bubbly personalities, and they're kind of the life of the room, and that's wonderful. I'm glad there are people like that, because I'm not like that, and I enjoy. I'm more of the introvert. I can sit in a room and be quiet and listen, and it's wonderful. But sometimes some people, they just like to be listened to, but they don't like to listen. And that spirit must be careful because it could describe the spirit or the characteristic of a prating fool. And here we have to reflect on this. Is that what I am? Is there more of that in me than the alternative? And then he goes on. Let's go back to Proverbs 10 and notice here he says, not only in verse 9, he that perverteth his way shall be known. Obviously, those who speak much are known. And we know of their idleness because they speak, and it's not difficult to recognize a prating fool. And the Bible says, verse 10, he that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. There it is here. There's another contrast, but yet those are both negative. And we ask ourselves here, why is there a contrast between the two? And I would like to put it this way. The first part, he that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow, but then he says, but a prating fool shall fall. And I would put it this way. The first part of the verse, it describes a someone who is, if you would, conspiring, who is deceptive, but yet he does something that causes sorrow in the life of somebody else. But a prating fool brings sorrow upon his own life. The idea of someone who is winking with his eye, remember we already dealt with that, was back in Proverbs 6. Go back there with me in Proverbs chapter 6. He described in Proverbs chapter 6 the wicked man or the naughty person. Notice in Proverbs 6, go down with me to verse 12. Proverbs 6, verse 12, notice the Bible says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Here it is, verse 13. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers, frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. There it is. The idea of someone who is winking with their eyes, someone who damages somebody else, someone who inflicts pain and sorrow upon the life of somebody else. But a prating fool brings sorrow upon his own life. See verse 10, he that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow in the life of somebody else. But a prating fool shall fall. It will be his own doing. And there's a contrast there. You see, the winking with the eye talks about those who are secretive in nature of their wickedness. This is a man who says one thing at your face, then turns around and winks, indicating a deceitful spirit. Secretly, he always brings sorrow. The word sorrow means here pain, a wound to somebody. But a prating fool shall fall. I believe we find this distinction, if you would, in the book of Hosea. Would you please turn with me in the book of Hosea? In your Bibles, right after you go the major prophets, you go through Daniel, right after Daniel, the book of Hosea, and go with me to Hosea chapter 4. In Hosea chapter 4, we know that the prophet Hosea was speaking as a prophet confronting the people of Israel, and he is going to make a distinction. I want you to notice the first one we find in verse 9, so Hosea chapter 4, notice verse 9. The Bible says, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. But if you go over to verse 14, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom. So God in this chapter says here, I will punish, but then he says, I will not punish. What is the distinction? Notice with me as we go to verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. So here he is talking, if you would, about the first generation that rebelled against God, who turned to God, who did sin, who discarded God, who sinned against God. And then verse 10, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Verse 12, my people ask counsel at the stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Verse 14, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separate with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. That word fall, the word that you find here, prating fool shall fall, that expression, that word fall, that Hebrew word is only found three times in the Bible. Twice in Proverbs chapter 10, and once here in Hosea chapter 4. What is he describing here in Hosea chapter 4? The people that God will not punish, but they will reap the fruit because their parents before them rebelled against God, and then this next generation is ignorant of the ways of God, and therefore their own behavior, their own life causes them to fall. That first generation, you know, they were deceitful, they were wicked, they were causing others to sin, they were inflicting sorrow, but then the next generation come and they are ignorant and they fall. Why? Because they don't know anything. From the time they were children, they were left to themselves, and they spend their entire lives being prating fools, knowing nothing, spewing out all kinds of wickedness without any knowledge. And so as we go back to Proverbs 10, we see the distinction. And here, as Solomon is writing to his son, appealing to his son, he is telling to his son, or giving to his son, I believe, three characteristics. First of all, be receptive. You want to be wise, son? Receive commandments. You want to walk surely, son? Walk uprightly. And I want you to think a little while on what it means to be a prating fool. Could you reflect for just a moment? Son, open your ears. Don't run your mouth. Don't be a busybody going about always spewing out and never taking anything in. Because the prating fool shall fall. He will condemn himself. In other words, the prating fool is someone who will so ruin his life that he does not need the judgment of God. He brings his judgment upon himself. He is known by his ways, and no one can trust him. The prating fool shall fall. And so may the Lord help us to avoid being a prating fool. Now let's stop here. Let's stop. And I want us to think about this, because I think sometimes we say, well, I'm not that prating fool. And I think that we, again, must not think about the title as much as we should think about the degree. Is there any prating in us? I think that's the question we need to ask. Is there any of that in us? Or is there a heart of wisdom that is completely receptive to God? Is there a heart that is walking uprightly in this life? And are we reflecting on what the alternative is and asking ourselves? I think that that reflection is, son, make sure there's no prating in you. Make sure that your disposition is always ready to receive, ready to hear from God, ready to take in. Those who are the best, if you was those who impart the most wisdom are those who receive the most. Not those who know the most, those who receive the most. And so may the Lord help us this evening and avoid being a prating fool.